Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
It is indeed, and this morning I spoke to the Minister about two government announcements from yesterday, the first being an extension of temporary working visas and the second being a hold on incoming flights to the country. We also touched on a tool the Minister has been working on during her time in government. Just for some more information around the visa extensions, given this is not Martin's portfolio, she indicated she may not have all the details. Minister Ian Lees-Galloway announced yesterday that the government is making immediate short-term changes to visa settings to support temporary migrants already onshore in New Zealand and their employers, while also ensuring New Zealanders needing work are prioritised. So this means, and there were 3 points in the press release, extending all existing employer-assisted temporary work visas for people in New Zealand and whose visas are due to expire before the end of 2020 by 6 months, benefiting around 16,500 workers. Second point, shifting the stand down by 6 months to February 2021. So this affects migrant workers who are subject to the 12-month stand down period and we're going to have to leave New Zealand this year and they will now be able to stay for the duration of the extension, and that affects 600 workers. The stand down period being the amount of time one has to leave the country before applying to come back and work. The government states that, quote, the stand down period was introduced in 2017 to prevent lower skilled, lower paid foreign workers from becoming well settled in New Zealand without a pathway to residence, end quote. Just a note here, because of the way in which lower skilled as a term has negative connotations, the government also says they're continuing to work on a number of changes which were announced pre-COVID-19, and this includes a different way to define lower skilled, lower paid employment and a new process for employer assisted work visas expected to be fully in place by mid-2021. The last point on that press release being, finally, the last part of the announcement was ensuring New Zealanders needing work continued to be prioritised. Now, I did reach out to the office of Minister Ian Lees-Galloway, but we couldn't get an interview. I do believe we are being sent a written statement, though, so hopefully we'll have that before the end of the show. Back to Tracy Martin. I started by asking her how this will work.
I don't want to get it wrong because I'm not the Minister of Immigration, so this is Ian Lees-Galloway's portfolio, right? But basically we had migrant workers who were in New Zealand whose visas were due to run out. They had a variety of visa lengths, but they were due to run out. And of course the problem they've got is that, you know, there's just not the capacity for many of them to leave the country in the time frame that they need to leave the country. So what the government decided to do and came to that final decision on Monday was actually to extend those visas. So those who'd had a 12-month stand-down period or something and were going to have to leave this year, for example, they can now get hold of immigration, and I would suggest they go onto the website and get the real facts. Please don't, you know, take my very cursory way of explaining it and get that extension so that they can feel that they're not breaking the law. So let's just go to an example. So I was at Hohepa yesterday. So Hohepa is this amazing 60-year-old organisation that works off a Ruta Steiner sort of a philosophy in the Hawke's Bay, who looks after, who cares for in schools and looks after New Zealanders with an intellectual disability. Now, because it's the Rudolf Steiner model, they have had a great deal of difficulty. It takes 4 years, it takes up to level four to train to be a caregiver for Hohepa. They've got maybe 12 individuals who are from another nation who were on work visas here, who had the qualifications to actually be part of what is this amazing delivery of service for these New Zealanders. And they were worried. So, you know, I saw them yesterday knowing that in the afternoon Ian Lees-Galloway was going to make this announcement and this was the issue. You know, they're really worried that their visas are going to run out. Mm. The conversation I had with them was, okay, so let's get in and let's make sure that they're not worried. Let's recognise what the circumstances are. But also, how can I, as the Associate Minister of Education, work with you to train New Zealanders up to be level four? Our career force has the qualifications, level four carers, so that you have a New Zealand workforce that you can call on, so that you're able to continue the amazing work that you're doing. When we are going to have restrictions on travel for, you know, for a while.
Mm. With this, I mean, the jumping a little bit, I suppose, but back when there was the call out for international teachers because we had that shortage, is this something that would affect those teachers, or is that same sort of thing in terms of you saying we do need to build up that workforce?
No, no, you're right. There'd be a number of teachers in there. I mean, one of the things, part of that call out was actually to get New Zealand teachers back. So many of the teachers that returned during that period of time were Kiwi, and they were coming home. So there was a specific campaign at that time to bring Kiwi teachers back. But you're right, there will be a number of teachers who are in that boat. We've got Filipino farm workers who I know have been worried. We've got Filipino nurses in the aged care industry that will have been worried. So, you know, the discussions are still ongoing between sort of the parties that make up government about, is there a group of people inside this group of people who have been here for a long period of time? So they might have had their visas rolled over twice or three times. And is there a window here now to say, well, actually, you've been here this long, we should actually offer you residency? So that's the conversation that New Zealand First is having.
Because there is a few, you know, there has been people spoken about in the media in terms of them waiting for a very long time to actually to receive residency, and they have been here for a very long time. So in terms of having that conversation, where would New Zealand First stand on that?
Well, New Zealand First is the one who raised it. So we're the one who actually took it to our coalition partners. So, you know, I find it fascinating that people will have made an assumption that New Zealand First would have been opposed to that. New Zealand First is a very sensible, practical party. We're in our circumstances that we're in right now. You've got a group of people who have been paying taxes probably for a decade. You know, they've been good, honest, decent, hardworking people, and they've had their visas rolled over. Now, our view is that you shouldn't just roll people's visas over and keep them here in limbo like that. So we wouldn't have done it to start with, but we did actually take that conversation to Minister Lise Galloway and say, what can immigration tell us about these people, because we'd like to have a conversation about their circumstances.
And that limbo is sort of extended by the fact that the extension is, it takes us beyond the election, so it's almost like we also don't know, you know, who might be in government then, and what.
Yeah, it takes us, unfortunately, the reality is that while travel is restricted, it's not, you know, completely closed. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've got New Zealanders coming home. We've had repatriation flights going back to other countries. It's still a process. Foreign affairs are still in the process of working with other nations for their citizens to go home. So, and we also have people who might have only been here for 3 months before COVID happened. And the reality is, at some stage, they need to go home. So there's a variety of circumstances inside this group of people, and that's what we've been asking for, is more detail about.
Okay, moving to the borders then, there was also the announcement of a sort of slowing down of incoming flights, or at least, you know, a full-on hold. So where is New Zealand First on this?
Well, I don't, in every decision that is announced, New Zealand First has supported it. So this is a coalition government. So New Zealand First, if we disagree with something, you will see it in the media, because we'll tell you. We didn't agree on three strikes. We didn't agree on capital gains tax. We had no problem telling people what we don't agree on. But everything else that happened has been a circular conversation between New Zealand First, the Greens, and Labor, because that's what this government is. Mm. So, one of the reasons for slowing down, we have to make sure that we can manage the quarantine and isolation for those returning New Zealanders once they get here. We have to make sure that we manage that. And now more than ever. So because of the circumstances where we had that unfortunate incident where, you know, a contractor to the Ministry of Health was not doing what we in Cabinet had been informed that they were doing, even more so now that we've put in the Defence Force and now that Megan Woods has got hold of that particular piece of that portfolio. We want to make sure that people don't come in, that we can't manage their quarantine or their isolation.
And so practically, this is just a matter of extending the quarantine capability?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there are, you know, tens of thousands of New Zealanders offshore, and many of them now want to come home because, and they have the right to come home, because New Zealand is, you know, one of the safest places on the planet at the moment with regard to COVID. We want to keep it that way.
But it is a matter, so like you say, there is always the right to come home, and so it is a matter of, and because we, in terms of like the foreseeable future, we don't know what the world is going to look like for the foreseeable future, and so we might be a quarantine country. Is that what we'll be?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think New Zealanders, as I say, when there was that unfortunate incident about those two ladies that left isolation early, and that, you know, what we had been told was being done, unfortunately, wasn't. I think the reaction that you saw from New Zealanders shows that New Zealanders have an expectation that we will manage at the borders to make sure that COVID does not come out into the community, because it's community transmission that obviously is what we're all trying to avoid. We knew we were going to have COVID cases of those who were returning. Of course we would. But we know who they are, where they've come from, and we've got them isolated, right, and quarantined. That's what New Zealanders want us to do, because they showed it very clearly in recent weeks.
Mm.
And that's what we're going to continue to do, you know.
With that community transmission, there being a new or an announcement of community transmission in Melbourne, does this mean that the Trans-Tasman bubble, like, won't happen this year, basically?
Again, it'll be, well, what month are we in, see? We're in July now, aren't we? So it depends on, so much depends on how quickly they can gain control. And a lot of this conversation from a government perspective is, have you got the plans and the capability to deal with a community outbreak? Can you shut down? I mean, they're doing exactly what we don't want to do, which is going back up their alert levels, right?
Mm.
So the reality is, as much as we want a Trans-Tasman bubble, you cannot have one if you're going to endanger your population. So, you know, we offer whatever assistance we can to the Australians. All nations are sort of swapping information about what's working for them, what's not working for others. And we just keep, you know, the conversations between Australia and New Zealand just, you know, are very, very frequent on what their circumstances are.
Mm. I know you don't like commenting on other parties, but National was very a strong proponent, I suppose, to follow the methods or the strategy that Australia chose to do. Is this something that, I mean, they're not really saying that anymore, but in terms of what has happened in Melbourne, is this just a possibility of something that could happen, or is it because of the strategy that they chose to use?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, one of the complications Australia's got is different states. So different states taking different sort of different decisions and different attitudes towards what they were trying to do. My understanding too is that Australia was running a suppression sort of a strategy, whereas we were running an elimination strategy. Elimination meaning that we had nothing, that we don't know where it came from, and we can't manage it and control it. So from the, you know, from the National Party's perspective, I think all the way along this has been a difficult, if you want to play politics with it, it's a difficult space because they are opposition. And so if you think that you have to oppose everything because you're opposition, then they've found themselves in a very, very difficult spot. And, you know, they probably, I would say though today, after some news yesterday, I would say they've got some other things that they need to clean up rather than commenting on the way we've handled our borders.
Fair enough. Okay, we'll leave that there. The last thing I wanted to touch on though, and you did talk a bit about what you were doing this week, but a new information tool to help with learning support. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Sure. So it's called Tirito, but what I went to Kawarau, so last week I was in Kawarau and then, Rotorua. So, and I went there because it's the learning support register is part of what is the changes I've been implementing over the last 3 years to better support the children in our mainstream education system with learning needs. And so the learning support register is part of Tirito. And what that means now is that we can roll out a standardised learning support register, which means that schools have always had them, don't get me wrong, but it hasn't been standardised. And they haven't used the same language to describe the support needs for that particular child. Why would you want it to be standardised? Because schools in a cluster haven't been able to, combine all their data with some consistency and say, oh, okay, across this cluster, we've got this many children with dyslexia. So we're going to get the Ministry of Education to give us some professional development on how can we support these children with dyslexia. Or we've got this many children with mild autism. Let's get the Autism Foundation and give us some professional development about how to better support these students. So schools can do that with this consistency now with the Learning Support Register. And also at the regional level, we can now see a picture across a region and across a country. We've never before been able to see what are the needs of our students so that, somebody like me could do workforce planning. So now we will have the capacity, once that's rolled out across the country and we collect that data, we're going to have the capacity to say, we can see across the nation we have this many children with autism, mild autism, inside our schools. We need to train up this many, say, curriculum leads or whatever, and or specialists, and we need to be able to distribute them across the country or that particular region. I need to get specialists without regions and shift them into there so that they can help alleviate what is the stress for these children.
That sounds brilliant. Congratulations. The only thing that comes up, I suppose, is when they announced national standards and the criticism around standardising across the country and not having, certain pockets, I guess, for their own needs.
So, and that is the difficulty with, it's a word and it means that you've got a consistency of something, right?
Mm.
Now, the problem with national standards is it tried to say that all children at that age in this year level need to be at this place, which is just not humanly possible.
Yeah.
What I'm talking is about the consistency of language. So I'm not saying that the children are all the same. What we're saying is, when we see mild autism, that's what we're going to call it. And we're all going to call it the same, so that when we combine all our information, we're actually got a picture. We're talking about the same thing. So, dyslexia is dyslexia. And then you've got the scale of it. But, that's what I'm talking about. It's talking about consistent language. It's not talking about treating those students the same, because the answer for those students will be different. Dyslexia, there's a scale of it. And that's why you need to professionally develop up and do, say, 10 tips for teachers, because one of those 10 things will work for that student, but you wouldn't be able to say, oh, yeah, okay, so all those students there, we're going to use, number 3 tip, because that's going to fix it all, because it won't, because they're human beings, right?
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.